somehow my iPad is frozen, so I'll just share with everyone, you know, some of the things I'm doing and some of the concepts and ideas that we're dwelling on. Om Gyan Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Malitam Yena Tasmay Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Turudhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. It's really been amazing. I think it's been my best group yet. In Vrindavan, they're really just absorbed in the activities and their hearts are opening up to the real Vrindavan in a very, very profound way. In fact, Jivan Mukta just left and I never saw anybody so sad to leave. It kind of gave me an understanding of he was really just so distressed to leave, which means what? He was experiencing something wonderful here. And it kind of reminded me, it just gave me a paradigm to understand, separation in union. That someone is here in separation because they're leaving. I think most of the people are feeling that very, very acutely. And I'm sure some of the people that are listening to this now who were with me on this wonderful tour in Puri and Vrindavan feel that way. But it's just like Sri Radha's separation when Akura comes to take Krishna from Vrindavan. And the deep separation she's feeling at that moment in the presence of Krishna, knowing that he's going to leave, you see the paintings of the gopis kind of grabbing, falling in front of the horses and grabbing the reins. No joke. And then when the wheels start moving, that's another type of separation. And then when Krishna is gone, that's another separation. The most intense separation is when you're beginning to go. And that's what Krishna wanted to experience. Wanted to experience the love of his topmost devotee, Sri Radha, at the height of her love, which is her deep separation. So what a wonderful tour we had. I've also, because of the eagerness of the people, I started giving two classes a day. In the morning at 7:45, in the afternoon at 4:00. Wonderful discussion. There's a book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Bhakti Lok. And he's discussing, it's commentary on the Upadeshamrita, the first two verses. And he's discussing the second verse, Atyahara Pyasa Cha, Kajalpo Nigamagraha, Jana Sangas Talolyam Cha, Sad Bhaktim. Vanashyate, there's six obstacles that destroy bhakti. It's very interesting because Bhaktivinoda is such a scholar. And we were discussing prayas. Prayas means over-endeavor. And what over-endeavor means is any activity that's not connected to surrender to Krishna. It's not that it's an over-endeavor to enjoy necessarily, or an over-endeavor to work or enjoy. It's just a question whether that endeavor is the means or the end. When it's the means, it's never over-endeavor. In the Bhagavatam, it says, they said, how much you'd want to enjoy. And the verse was, sense pleasure, calm, is never nendriyapriti. It's not for the senses. So what do? You take it because you need it for the higher endeavor of Krishna consciousness, jivasya tattva jigyasa. You take what you need. And when you take what you need, it's not your objective. The need is not your objective. The need is to situate you in a way where you can attain your objective. So it's really a difference whether it becomes your goal or your means. Your means for a good end, which is to realize the absolute truth. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is discussing these things like prajalpa or talk or endeavor, and it really is a question of where it's born. Just like there's different forms of prajalpa, like criticism and argument, debate, etc. So is it an obstacle or not? Well, it depends whether it is born from the soul. In other words, whether it's in the service of the soul or it's in the service of the false ego. Criticism can be in the service of the soul, and the guru the parent may chastise or criticize his student. The preacher may point out defects in particular. So that's born from the soul. Unfortunately, let's say argument in the Narada Bhakti Sutra, it's one form of vijalpa, idle talk is argument. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that mostly debate is used for conquest. And that's for the false ego. The false ego is to enjoy and control. So Narada Bhakti Sutra says that a Vaishnava, one of the symptoms of Vaishnava, he does not argue. Of course, argument can serve the soul, but most argument is based on the false ego. We're arguing because we don't want someone superior to us, and we want to be superior to others. That's the core material consciousness. The whole thrust of false ego material consciousness is a sense of superiority, a domination. And consequently, to avoid that, it's like people don't like to be told that they're wrong because they feel they're losing power. So it really depends where it's coming from. And most argument is coming from the false ego. Even if you go to, you know, these blogs, websites, threads, etc., they're discussing sometimes a philosophical point or etc. But mostly you can see that things are born on the basis of ego. I want to conquer. I don't want to be conquered. Where real argument is not about ego, real argument is vada. Vada means I'm seeking the truth to bring me closer to Krishna. That's not the job of priyas. So useless endeavor is any endeavor that's not connected to awakening our Krishna consciousness, either directly or indirectly. And that is an obstacle for bhakti. Interesting, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes in the section on prayas, the over-endeavor, a very, very profound point. He quotes the last verse of the Hari Bhakti Lalas, where Sanatan Goswami, after writing the guidebook for Vaishnav behavior, he clearly outlines that the worst thing, the worst over-endeavor, is for pratishtha or distinction or fame. And that is harder to give up than material desire. But it's an obstacle to bhakti. Because it's an endeavor that takes away our time from bhakti. It's an endeavor that affects our consciousness in a pernicious or degrading way. And we also know that activities that the consciousness in which we do anything enhances the particular consciousness in which we do it. For example, bhakti, sanjayate bhakti. Bhakti creates bhakti. If you do devotional activities, it increases your bhakti. The same thing, if you do material activities, it's not just the activity, it's the consciousness in which it's done. And it increases that consciousness. And if it's about control and enjoyment, and it will increase one's false ego, his material conception, his bodily conception. So, so this petition or this fame, this desire for distinction. I'm just thinking, look at myself. I'm writing articles, I'm preaching. You have to really introspect. You really have to pray hard and to do everything in a mood of service and be detached from profit, admiration, adulation, and distinction. Because what is fame? Fame is one of the six opulences that belong to God that we want for ourselves because we want power. We want power for control, power for enjoyment, and power for ego. And probably for ego more than anything else, for a sense of superiority. So fame is really at the root of it. And it's probably the most powerful, probably the thing that facilitates control the most, to be renowned. What we're striving for. And it's at the base of material consciousness. Just look at what Facebook is. 90% of what's put on Facebook practically is for fame. For getting likes, becoming popular. But for the devotee who's sensitive about really developing his bhakti, and this really has to be our goal of life, bhakti. We really have to get a feel for devotion, and to do that we have to be fixed from Krishna consciousness. We have to remove the obstacles. I have to get that faith because there is nothing more pleasurable than the soul by far than the mood of selfless service.
One second. This is an important call. I'll be right back.
Okay, Harry Bo. I'm back. So, the other thing that I've been doing while I'm here, at 4 o'clock lecturing on the 10th canto, which is such a good
Krishna Anushilanam. That's why when we say avoid prajalpa, it's only idle talk, but not talk in itself. Because we advance in bhakti by our absorption in Krishna. That's how we Krishna is, I read this in the story of Akrura, Krishna's body emanates transcendental pleasure. And the way we advance is by experiencing that, by focusing on that. Perception, I said many times, is dependent on our attention. Okay, come in. Experiencing the holy name is the experience of Krishna, who's all attractive, and drawing out our devotion and our love for him, which is the essence of our real self. The real key in bhakti is to be absorbed. That's what it says in the next devotion. That there's one rule, one prohibition. The rule is to remember Krishna. The prohibition is not in the forget. And therefore, it's described as the spiritual master finds the ways and means to engage the disciple in functional service. So it's very important to actually share thoughts by Krishna consciousness with others. Such a good Krishna Anushilana. Fundamental principle of pure devotional service is Anupuyena Krishna Anushilana. Anupuyena means to favor, wanting to please Krishna. Krishna Anushilana. By having your activity follow Krishna. Agree that your activities have that intent, which Krishna is to bring to them. That's going to be based on your absorption. So, thinking about Krishna is very rapid. I know when I give class, there's so many considerations in the mind. What is the subject? How to appropriately present it. You have to be so focused. It's such an absorption. So in terms of my own spiritual practice, one of the things that I find most effective is actually thinking about Krishna. So it's the relish of actually the qualified audience speaking about Krishna's pastimes. And we were my iPad broke, so I have to just speak extemporaneously. But so I took the days I was doing different things, devoting to appreciating. I really like to describe Krishna entering. There's something called mantra upasana. Mantra upasana. There's two types of meditation. One is called mantra upasana and one is called mantra upasana means that there's verses in the shastra that literally paint a picture of Krishna. Or behind and Parasiki there's lila and verses and that he described almost like a movie about it. I had this one mantra upasana kind of the first verse. Actually, I explained many verses. The first verse of the chapter is Krishna entering Vrindavan. And so beautiful. Just is it just a form of Krishna, all attractive, not wearing his peacock feather and having his lotus eyes and his cascading black hair, which actually a little curl goes before the ears, because within the ears he keeps beautiful lilies, beautiful flowers in his ears, so the hair, and smita, smita savagam will come. He has a smile, and his smile is called smita. And smita is, it's not like a laugh or a smile for occasion, it's the natural smile on the face of someone who is 100% content. Being emanates joy. And even in the world, we meet people like that. Occasionally, we meet someone who's so pious that they're constitutionally smiling. Not frivolous, not over optimistic, constitutionally, which reflects the beauty of their heart. Krishna is taking the cows and begins with Gopanda. Gopanda means Krishna is now the age of six. And to take out the cows, which is very significant, because previously, up to that time, in the Bar Lila, where Krishna appears as a child, young child, he appears as a young child to facilitate love of parents who have that mood of love, that I am your maintainer and you have need for me. That's the love of Lila. So Krishna appears in a form with the maximum degree of which is a small child. And at that time, he can only take care of the calves. Can't go far from home. But now, Gopanda means Krishna's body. I don't think their ages exactly correspond to what we think it is. But Gopanda's age, his body has matured to the extent now he can go to the forest and herd the cows. The image is very, very beautiful. Krishna is behind the cows. Of course, he loves Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is not just a place that facilitates your intimate love, as your living room facilitates, or your bedroom facilitates, playroom facilitates, whatever. Not just a place that facilitates your enjoyment or love, the living room may facilitate, but it's a place that is moving the attention to have an environment that's loving you, and therefore Krishna loves Vrindavan, but God is responsive, Krishna is responsive. Going to the forest of Vrindavan and Krishna is full of joy. And the nature of joy in the heart it has to be expressed. And that's reason for kirtan. Krishna expresses his joy, or he specifies his love to someone. Beautiful melodies of his flute. The Krishna is entering the forest of Vrindavan, and the forest of Vrindavan, loving Krishna, freezing all his senses, because love is communicated with experience of like some senses in trouble. Every flowers are all for the fragrance and they're blooming intentionally and they're all for the fragrance intentionally. And it's a whole atmosphere. It's a whole atmosphere that says I love it. Not just a person, not any person. Person, environment, everything about them is I love you. This is the concept of universal love. God doesn't have the defect of the personality. He's not limited by not having a form. A form is not limited because it's inclusive of everything. So this universal, this ontological position of God as the supreme enjoyer is the enjoyment of everyone, and it's the pleasure of everyone. So, Krishna closes and concludes the response to the forest described as flowers and chirping birds and so many succulent fruits, and everything is manifested. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And Krishna reciprocates and he blows his flute to either express his own joy at receiving. He's going now to receive the love of Mars and Vrindavan, but he is expressing his own love for the forest. And I can tell you, by living here, you could really fall in love with this. When you come under guidance, when you engage in Panchamastha, you transcend all the other externals that it don't look so pleasant. It's just a thin veil. Curious. Anyway, Krishna is so excited because now of age, he will be able to enjoy more and more spontaneous an intimate relationship. Say, I am the 12 bars of the Dhamma. And highest among them, the Dhamma, where Krishna is called. And in the Dhamma, higher than that, is Govinda. His friendship love and his romantic love inhibited, to some extent, at home, by the presence of the parents. Now he goes out to go over now with the hope. So, his love of friendship can be possible. And the environment or the atmosphere of Govardhan manifests to facilitate that. He loves Govardhan. Govardhan loves Krishna. And then at midday, then Krishna goes to Radhika, where he can hear Govardhan and his hands are still a little bit inhibited because he's French now. And he goes, Radhika has a full manifestation of the heart, environment, eternal, simultaneously manifest. Anyway, Krishna's going to the forest. He loves the Vrindavan, so he wants to go behind the cows to soothe the ground with the Vrindavan. So, for Krishna, blowing the flute, dancing, and has all these beautiful cows, brilliant. And
Hi, Krishna Gumaraj.
Our
Of others itself. You're actually thinking of God everything you do. And that voice and that voice out of it. Who the servant of God is.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, your voice is breaking a lot.
Thank you. defeated by because they are humble and separate from really directing my thoughts and I learn knowledge. Higher than our own desires, makes you melt.
Maharaj?
Maharaj?
It's like he's floating in the air in Vrindavan. Maharaj?
I hear you perfectly. I just can't hear him. What a nightmare.
Guru Maharaj. Worst case scenario.
He is not hearing us because he has us all muted. Somebody has to send him an email.
Okay. Well, but his I'll send him an email. I sent him a text. I'll try an email.
Try an email because he's using the phone, so he's not looking at the text.
Okay.
Thanks. There you go.
I think his earpiece might have fell out, and his microphone.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't know how long that was going on. Let me try this. Okay, I'm trying it this way. I hope it's better.
It's much better.
Wow. Thank you. Oh, I feel so bad that, okay, maybe you heard something. I guess my earplug was bad. Okay, maybe it wasn't so long, but okay, if it's much better, I'll do it like this. And then Krishna goes into the forest, and Nisarga, Satam Nisarga, the symptom of a devotee is he offers his best to other devotees. This is love. Love means you offer the best. You offer the things that are most fragrant, the most beautiful. You offer the things that have the most beautiful sounds. You offer the best. So they're offering the best to Krishna. So the peacocks come out. The best is their beauty. And the birds are singing so beautifully. That's the best. And the deer are offering their cuteness to Krishna. And this way he enters into the forest of Vrindavan. Yeah. Today, at least, I guess it's there too, but I just finished the codicy. Or it's not finished, but it's kind of the end of the day. And okay, I'm going to stop here now. If anybody has any questions, and then a few people could say hello. I'm just back in Vrindavan now after traveling for a month, so we'll get more in gear. The things should be more regular. Would anybody like to ask a question or say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Hey, Tota. Are you in deep separation?
Really missing everybody there.
Wow.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it's getting higher and higher, the people. They're really wonderful. It's what a group. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Jai Nithai.
Nice to hear from you. Jai.
Nice.
Just was with Gunagrai Maharaj, and today is Ekadasi, and they have their big feast and program. Okay. Anybody
right.
else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Priya.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Gail, Priya. Okay, who else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Braja Radhe.
Okay. More? More people? Anybody else? Okay. Anyway, I'm going to have to go. It's a long day. It's hard to give the classes because I get up so early, very early, so... By this time, I'm pretty tired, so I'm going to head out. Nice to see all you. Hare Krishna, Vanshakalpa.